Your financial questions answered by the best local business professionals. Only here on the Money Matters Radio Network. Call in with your questions at 888-205-2263 or send us instant feedback on moneymattersboston.com.
Hey, you're into the Money Matters Radio Network at 3:02 on this beautiful Wednesday, June 9th, your mid-afternoon host, along with my co-host every Wednesday in studio live with me from 3 until 4 o'clock. He is with Estate Preservation Law Offices, and it's Brendan King. How you doing?
I'm doing well, June. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great. If you're listening in and you have any kind of questions at all about estates and the trust and wills and things like that, studio line toll-free, 888-205-2263. So a good weekend for Mr. Brendan King?
It was a good weekend. And, you know, any weekend that's long is pretty good. You know, I still do some work at home, as I'm sure everyone does these days, but, you know, it's still nice to not have to go in. You know,
yeah.
Of course, you had to come in on Monday.
I came in, but most of my show was not happening.
Yeah.
So I found that out and went back home.
Yep.
So I did kind of have a half day, but always love Wednesdays because I always know you're going to be coming in.
Well, thank you very much. And it's the beginning of the downslide post noon, right? We're on the other end of the week.
Yeah.
You know?
This is
kind of like the work week weekend.
Wow. You know? You're like the glass half full guy. This is great.
Well, you know, I gotta finish your day up strong, you know.
And you always do.
It's like the cleanup hitter, batter number four, you know, Big Poppy, trying to like, you know, bring it in.
Brendan, I cannot tell you how many people I come across when they find out that I work here, mm-hmm. or they find out that I host Money Matters. They have questions for me sometimes about estates mm-hmm. and estate planning and wills and all that stuff. And I'm like, no, I'm not the expert, but I got a guy that's on Wednesdays.
Give me a call. Love to take the call. I thought you were going to say they were asking for my autograph, but, and of course I was going to give it to you. But
you know what? If you just leave me with an 8x10 and you just like do a generic signing, I can pass them out for you.
And so not make it to made out to June. June, good luck with all your future endeavors, Brendan. Nothing
yeah.
like that, but much more generic.
Don't put a name on.
Yeah, because then it's worth less.
Well, yeah, but I tell him, I'm like, you got to tune in on Wednesdays at 3 because this is the guy.
Yep.
And it's such a hot topic right now.
It really is. It really is. You know, I find myself speaking on it or getting asked to speak on it on a daily basis.
Why do you suppose? Is it because people are living longer?
I think people just want to be more educated, and I think people have an appreciation for the fact that it's not as easy as just going online and banging out your own will. You know, and I think that's, you know, again, part of what we're trying to do is get the word out there that that's not the way to do things. Of course, you can do it that way, but should you? And of course, as we always say, you know, you could perform your own medical procedure too, but you wouldn't do it. You can do a lot of things. That doesn't mean you should do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's really it. People want the information, and oddly enough, they seem interested in it, which is strange to me because I always thought we were the nerdy, geeky side of the law.
Not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. We're like the cool kids. No one wanted to take us to the prom, and now look, yeah. Yeah, see,
<That's>
now we're getting the head turns, you know. But no, I mean, it really is a topic that affects everybody, I think, and everyone does get affected, and everyone on one of the one issue or another in estate planning. And you know, what I thought we would talk about today is my little. I think I only send you 7, and then I came up with 3 more to make it a 10.
Oh,
because I
okay.
thought 7 was kind of weird. I wasn't sure how long. I didn't want to leave people hanging in case the hour wasn't enough, but I wanted to have like a Letterman's top 10.
Well, yeah, and I noticed I noticed the page on the talking points was kind of half full, and I thought, that's not like Brendan.
No, it is half full. It's not half empty.
Right.
You know, it's half full, but it, you know, I said, you know, I came up with 7, and I was like, I don't, you know, don't want to run out and leave people hanging till next week as to what the last 3 was. So I put 10 on there. If we get to it, we get to it. If not, you know, I'm always going to be here next week.
Okay.
They're in no particular order, but, you know, as part of this, hey, folks, here's some free information. I thought I would just go through this list and really just say, these are some of the things that people come in with preconceived notions. They think that this is the case, and they'll just almost assume it. They may not be in my office to verify that this is incorrect. They almost think that this is incorrect or correct, and then find out that it's incorrect in the process of doing their planning. So I've got a list, and I thought we would just go through them. The first one again, not in any particular order as to what I hear most.
Mm-hmm.
My estate is not big enough for a trust. I think we talked about that last week. A lot of people think that, you know, you've got to be that Kennedy or Rockefeller to have a trust. And we talked about this last week. You know, trusts are used for a lot of reasons. One of the biggest reasons we use trusts for is to avoid probate.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you know, we went through the litany last week, whether you have special needs children, asset protection. That question does come up, and we certainly don't need to beat that one up. That was my estate is not big enough for a trust. Just simply not true. Come find out what a trust can do for you. The second one I have here is, if I have a trust, do I even need a will? And that's a good question. A lot of people will ask that. A lot of people think, well, if I go in and get a trust made, I don't need a will. And we don't feel that that's true. And first of all, you always have a will. Again, if you don't have your own will, you have the state's will, and we talked about that before. It's kind of a little of a seasoning process for you, June. You know, you hear this week after week, and you're picking the stuff up now. You can kind of see the building blocks of the seasoning method of my teaching.
In a couple more weeks, I'm just going to say, Brendan, you don't have to come in.
You're going to jump on and take the bar, and you're going to be cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Why do we still need a will?
Yep. Oh,
excuse me. If we have the trust.
Mm-hmm. It's a good question. Sometimes our hope is that you don't actually have to use the will, but why I would say you still need one is that, again, in the course of maybe funding a trust, there may be assets that you have forgotten about, or we have forgotten about, or whoever has passed away has forgotten about, and the object sometimes of a living trust is to avoid probate. By funding it ahead of time, and again, that's just changing the name on the asset to the name of your trust. So instead of owning something in my name, Brendan J. King, brokerage account, it would say the Brendan J. King, trustee of the Brendan J. King Revocable Trust. That would be the new owner. I would own it as trustee of my trust. Hence, it's not a probate asset. It's not something I had in my name. But if I, in the course of funding my trust, may have forgotten about a money market I had, and it was just still in my name. The object of when you have a living trust as your dispositive instrument is to have something called a pour-over will. It backs the trust up. Although your trust is your dispositive instrument and it does pass the assets in the way that you had indicated, the idea of the will is to take any assets that would have been in the probate estate and push them into the trust. So then you still have a probate to do, but at least everything is going through the instrument now, the trust, at the end of the day, in accordance with your wishes. It serves as the carrying chassis or to funnel everything there. So, again, if you've funded it ahead of time, great. That asset's already in the trust, so when you pass away, assets can be dealt with. But if you don't, the will push that there. So then it still will get to be used. Did we have the benefit of avoiding probate on that asset? No. But sometimes we don't put all of our assets into a trust prior to death, and that's the point of having the will. Now, the other thing is, too, beside the point of having the pushing factor, that pour-over factor, is the guardianship provision. Because in your will, you're allowed to name guardians for your minor children, express intent and interest and desire as to maybe some older special needs children. You're letting the court know that, hey, this is who we'd like to nominate for these very special positions in our family or the very special jobs for people in our family. Disabled children, minor children, people who can't speak for themselves. You may be the guardian, and you may at that point want to say, hey, this is who I think would do a good job, if we're not around. So, again, that's another reason to have a will. So for those two big reasons, I would say wills are always very important. Also, to list powers for your executor. For instance, if you have a situation where you may have left assets in your name. You didn't get them to the trust. We have that pour-over factor. But you may want to leave a power to your executor that wouldn't be authorized otherwise. And one of the powers in your will, you can authorize your executors to sell your real estate. Believe it or not, if you do not give that power to your executor, it's not automatic.
Oh, didn't know that.
Yeah. So again, if you have a house and you want your executor to be able to sell it, if the power is not listed in the will, then that person has to come and petition the court to get what's called a license to sell. A special permission to sell.
Is that tough to get?
It's not necessarily tough to get, and quite frankly, oftentimes I'll have my clients get them even if the power's there to protect my executor from underselling it, to kind of get the court to bless the price that we're selling it at, because in a litigious society, my job is to kind of navigate those waters. So, again, it's not difficult to get. particularly if you're selling it for an appropriate price. If you're way underselling it, then it is, and you shouldn't be selling it for that price anyways. But it's not overly difficult to get, but it is time and money, extra money, that you could have avoided by giving the power. I still like to give the power and then have the ability to decide on my own whether I want to go get the license or not.
Sure.
So, again, you know, that's why we, I think you always have a will. And, again, even if you don't have your own will, you still have a will, and you want to trump the state's will, so you always should have your own will in place.
Okay.
All right. So number three is the best way. This is another comment I always say. The best way to give access and avoid probity is just by adding someone's name to my account. And we know that that's not true. The best way to give access, although that will give access to your to someone to your account while you're live or when you've passed, it's not necessarily the best way. And we will we'll probably find out more when we come back after our break.
Oh, lovely. Wonderful. Once again, it's Brendan King, and he is with the State Preservation Law Office. You drove all the way from Worcester.
I did drive away.
Which I love.
I drove all the way in from Wormtown, yeah, just to be here with you.
What did you call it, Wormtown?
Wormtown, yeah.
I didn't know they called it that.
Yeah, well, we're also known as Woo Rats, yeah. I went to Holy Cross, and I was called a Woo Rat in my own town. Those New Yorkers who came up to school.
Oh, those darn New Yorkers with their Yankees hats.
That's right.
We'll be back with Brendan King. You're listening to the Money Matters Radio Network.
Over the last 2 years, we have lived through some very dramatic economic times. If this has left you wondering and worrying about your retirement, you're not alone. I'm Eric Spent, financial advisor at Strategic Financial Partners. My team has over 30 years of experience helping people address a full range of financial issues, including how to make your money last throughout retirement. For a free consultation or an invitation to one of our client workshops, please call me at 781-788-4671. Don't waste another minute worrying about your financial future. Call Eric Spent at 781-788-4671.
Eric Spint is a registered representative of New England Securities. Securities and investment advisory services offered by NES, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC, and a registered investment advisor. Branch office 800 South Street, Suite 505, Waltham, Mass., 02453. Strategic Financial Partners is a separate entity of NES.
Log on to MoneyMattersBoston.com to find a Money Matters Radio Network affiliate near you.
Weeds and crabgrass are taking over your lawn. Traditional lawn weed killers control either lawn weeds or crabgrass, but not both. Why do half the job when there's Bayer Advanced all-in-one lawn weed and crabgrass killer? It kills lawn weeds plus crabgrass without harming your lawn. Just hook to the hose and go. Nothing's faster or easier. And now it's rainproof in 1 hour. Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results. BayerAdvanced.com.
Do you have questions or need help with your current or pending mortgage? Rob Gallagher of Ross Mortgage in Westboro has over 30 years of experience in the retail mortgage industry. Rob and the team at Ross Mortgage have proficient loan officers, processors, and underwriters waiting to assist you. Ross Mortgage is driven by excellence, respect, ethics, and teamwork. Contact Rob at Ross Mortgage by calling 877-811-5508 or visit them at rossmortgageco.com.
Hi, this is your Monday co-host, Rob Mitchell, the president and CEO of Coastal Finance. I wanted to take a moment to talk about our conventional mortgage division at Coastal Finance. In an ever-changing mortgage market, it is so important that you work with someone you can trust. Whether you're buying for the first time or refinancing, our can-do attitude at Coastal Finance will bring you the most competitive interest rates, lowest closing costs, and best service in the business. For a free consultation, please call one of our licensed mortgage planners today. Toll free, 888-974-6262. Again, that's 888-974-6262.
Mass license number MC5160, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Keeping an eye on your wallet is what we do best, right here on the Money Matters Radio Network. Send the Money Matters team instant feedback at moneymattersboston.com or call in with your questions at 888-205-2263.
It's Wednesday, and you're listening to the Money Matters Radio Network. Do you want to get us online? You can. It's moneymattersboston.com, and you can call into the studio. It's toll-free, 888-205-2263. Tonight, along with Brendan King from Estate Preservation Law Offices out of Worcester, Massachusetts. Okay, Brendan, before the break, we left off. You were talking about giving access to avoid probate.
Yeah, that was our number three. You know, the best way to give access, you know, a lot of times I'll hear the best way to give access, Brendan, and avoid probate is just by adding someone's name to my account. And it's true, that will do it. But maybe a couple of weeks ago I was talking about the Rubik's Cube model of planning.
Yes.
And, you know, just because you get one side done doesn't mean that the game is done. And so certainly that would give access, but it won't. And will give access while you're alive, will give access to an account while you've passed. But is it the best way to do it? No, because those other sides aren't done, and here's why. When you add someone to your account, you're adding not only their access to it, and hopefully you trust them because they do have access to it, but they're also an owner of that account. And now what ends up happening is what happens when they get a divorce or what happens if they hit someone with their car. Now, because you've added them as an owner to an account, they have all of these, they bring in their liabilities and their concerns. They also, you know, limit your recourse if they go in and take the money because you added them as a co-owner. So if they go in there, it might have just been for convenience because you want them to be able to have to write checks for you. But now what you've done is you've given them the ability to just walk away with the money. So then what do you do? What's your recourse? Well, they took my money. Well, they're an owner. They can take your money. I mean, was there anything, did you dictate or was there anything in writing saying they couldn't because you've added them as an owner? So joint owners own 100% of the whole. They can go in and clean out an account. That's why they have the authority to do it at a bank. So you've got to be careful with that.
Yeah, we have to really, I guess, really think about this and think about who this person is
on
this account.
That's a big deal. And we see it a lot. You know, I'm just going to put my daughter on there. Isn't your daughter in bankruptcy? You just want to make sure that it's the right person that you put on there. And because if there is access, and I've seen it in my practice, if there is an ability to someone to grab an asset in litigation, a perfect example, I had a situation where a client added their children or put their children on their house, and I think I may have even mentioned this a few weeks ago, to avoid probate, try to protect it. And what ended up happening is one of the sons got into a little bit of trouble. And they were able to put a lien against the house as recourse because that child was an owner. So, again, the parents are still living there, and the future interest in the kids' hands, and that's an asset for them to lose. So, it becomes very sticky, and you can really do yourself a lot of harm. Again, you got to think outside the box, not just for the issue. The issue is what's driving you. The issue is what's bugging you, and the issue is what's making you come into my office. But my goal and my job is to get you to think about some of these other things because we'd want to go from the frying pan to the fire. And I think that is what my job is, and any lawyer who's an estate planner's job is to make sure the client's aware of the ripple effect of the decision that they're making. If they still want to do it once they understand the consequences, that's fine, but we've got to let them know what those consequences are.
When is it a good situation? You know, maybe somebody's thinking about if they get incapacitated or something and it's a checking account or something like that. I'm trying to think of when would this work?
Yeah, so basically what we'd want to do is to give that permission without any of the liability. How do we do that? Or to give permission with some sort of fiduciary duty behind it. And how we would do that is during life, we would give someone a power of attorney over the account. Okay, so in other words, when someone needs to sign a check, they can sign as attorney in fact for the principal, the person who set up the agreement, the person who wanted to give the access. So instead, you'd be on the check as, you know, Brendan J. King, and then it would say, you know, June Knight, power of attorney for Brendan King, or attorney in fact for Brendan King. You're my agent, and you have the authority pursuant to a power of attorney that I gave the bank that they reviewed and have on record and scanned in their records that you can sign checks for me. You can have safe access to my safety deposit. I've given you the authority without any of the problems that you may have lingering. I'm just picking on you again.
Well, but you never anybody, know.
Hey, you never know.
No, you never know.
And it doesn't make you a bad person. You know, it's just, they, you know, things happen to people, and they do. I mean, you know, people hit people with their cars. I mean, there are judgments out there. There's all kinds of, life happens, as they say.
Life does happen.
And so, you know, with that, that is the way to do it.
Okay, and we're going to take a short break. We'll be back. Time for the Bloomberg Business Update.
This is a Bloomberg Business Week update. I'm Carol Masser. The wealthiest older Americans are considering making special holiday gifts this year. One 84-year-old widow is giving her children half of her $20 million fortune. It's the gift tax versus the death tax debate. The deadlock in Congress over renewing Bush-era tax cuts has prompted some wealthy Americans to debate whether to face gift taxes this year or higher estate taxes in the future. Estates are exempt from all federal taxes until the end of this year, and the rate shoots up to 55% next year unless Congress acts soon. The current top rate on gift taxes is 35%, and it rises to 55% as of January 1st. That means the best tax reduction strategy may be to transfer assets to family members this year and lock in the gift tax rate of 35%. For more on this story, go to businessweek.com. I'm Carol Masser.
This is my parents' Mercedes M-Class. And one day, I'll drive my kids to school in it.
Don't look now, but someone else just may have their sights set on your certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. And who could blame them? After all, every one of our certified pre-owned vehicles undergoes a rigorous inspection by factory-trained technicians to ensure it meets the uncompromising standards of Mercedes-Benz. And considering we invented the automobile, those standards are indeed high.
I might even drive them the long way to school.
Plus, every one comes with a warranty and roadside assistance for up to 5 years and 100,000 total miles. And now, with 3 months of Sirius satellite radio. Come in for exceptional financing on our certified pre-owned vehicles today. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer, it's not certified pre-owned. Today could be the day you get not only the car you've wanted...
And no way am I letting my kids put their feet on the seats.
...but the car they'll start wanting.
See dealer or call 1-800-FOR-MERCEDES for complete program, including certified pre-owned, limited warranty, and Sirius satellite radio details and limitations.
Keeping an eye on your wallet is what we do best. It's the Money Matters Radio Network. Send the Money Matters team instant feedback at moneymattersboston.com or call in with your questions at 888-205-2263.
Welcome back to the Money Matters Radio Network, streaming live on the web, moneymattersboston.com. Studio lines again, toll free, 888-205-2263. June Knight, along with Brendan King, Estate Preservation Law Offices out of Worcester, Massachusetts, and the website, estatepreservationlaw.com. If you've got questions for Brendan, because he has all the answers.
I know where to get them if I don't. That's the way to phrase it. But I think that Jen and I were just talking about how many during the break, how many things there are to know, and I think that gets back to specialization. You know, you have to just you have to specialize these days. It's tough to know a lot about a lot, a great number of things. It's not the days of the general practitioner where the doctor's walking around with a black bag going from door to door.
No.
It's not like that in any profession, unfortunately, whether it's finance, accounting, law, medicine. It's all about specialization. And in my field, I can tell you right now, I don't know everything. That's why I'm attracted to it. It's a difficult field to be in. It's an ever-changing field, and it never stays still for a second. And it's pretty deep too. I mean, you can go really deep and learn a lot. There's a lot of smart guys out there in our field.
And it's an emerging field and a growing field.
Yeah, it is.
It
is. And, a lot of, I don't know what it is. There's a tremendous need for it. But there's not a heck of a lot of people going into it because I think in the law schools, this is just my perception, my opinion. From what I see is when they're young and they're taking their estate and gift tax classes, You know, they're afraid that, oh, they hear these rumors, oh, the estate tax is going to go away and all this. Why should I learn something if I know? Well, you know, estate planning is a heck of a lot more than just the estate tax. And that's what I think people, especially, you know, young students just don't understand yet, because I don't think they have an ability to understand that.
Yeah.
They just don't have the access, which is why internships are good, you know, to find out what else it is, because it's a heck of a lot more than just estate taxes. That is a tax is a big thing, of course, but it's a lot more than that.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So okay. I think what we were talking about is the power of attorney and the access during life that way, and not possibly, you know, trying to avoid the putting someone else directly on as a joint owner. Power of attorney is a great way to get access during life, or to fund a living trust, because if you lose capacity, your successor trustee can take over, or even at death, you know, when you pass away, that successor trustee takes over. So that's the proper way. Or at least the way I would advise someone to add someone to their account. Or if they are going to add someone to their account, don't keep much in there. You know, maybe just sweep, have an account that sweeps into it. So if you need something to a checking account, just sweep some dollars
yeah.
in there. Keep it low. That way there's nothing to walk away with, nothing to lose.
Nothing to fight about.
Nothing to fight about. Yeah, exactly. And unfortunately, siblings battle. You know, I think when the parents are alive, the patriarch of the family, things are kind of the way they are. There might be something brewing under that first layer. Once those parents are gone, everything kind of comes out at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And very little is fighting about the issues at hand. The fights go back to when they were in second grade and, you know, or, you know, you were always like this and mom always liked you better and all these like weird things. So they end up using those things as an excuse to battle about things that, you know, I don't want to get too psychological.
Well,
here.
They have issues.
Yeah. They have issues.
Deep hidden
yeah.
issues from childhood.
Yeah. That's right. From childhood.
That's what, yeah, and it all comes up. You're
yep.
right. It's stuff
it
that
does.
They never, you know, never yeah. brought up or talked
right.
about. Or,
that's right.
You know,
then yeah.
now it's time.
Now it's time. We're going to have it out right now. So that
Gosh.
Was our, that was our number three. And our number four is, you know, again, in no particular order, my will controls all of my assets at death. And we know that's not true. Even if you know, assuming you don't have a trust, a client comes in, a lot of times we'll always hear, oh, well, I have a will, Brendan, you know, everything is going to end up going to, you know, my, two stepchildren or to my two children or mm-hmm. whoever. And what we know now after hearing me for a few weeks is that the will controls probate assets and, not everything you own is a probate asset. So, you know, you may have a life insurance policy. And that life insurance policy has a beneficiary designation.
Yes.
Okay. And we talked about the ex-spouse being on there. We talked about, you know, a cousin who's on there who may have passed away 10 years ago. We talked about, you know, beneficiary designations on an IRA being, you know, a grandchild with, that has now been injured and maybe on special needs. So we'll get back to this when we get back from the break.
Okay, well said. We'll be back. You're listening to the Money Matters Radio Network.
Who's ready to hear some fun facts about GEICO? All right, let's give it a go, shall we? First, over 3 million drivers switched to GEICO last year. Second, GEICO received a customer satisfaction rate of 97%. Third, GEICO has been providing car insurance for over 70 years. Whoa, hold up a tick. These aren't fun facts at all. These are financially sound facts. We've been duped.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
You want pain relief that's fast? You want pain relief that's strong? Then you want Advil Liquid Gels. They're faster and stronger on tough pain than Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. Advil Liquid Gels. They rush real liquid relief right to wherever you hurt, so you can forget about your pain and get back to your day. Advil Liquid Gels. Liquid fast. Advil strong.
Brands are trademarks of their respective owners. Use as directed.
Those other guys putting you to sleep? Your energy boost is right here on Boston's best source for financial news and information, the Money Matters Radio Network.
Okay, that was a short break. That was nice. Nice little breather. Money Matters Radio Network, mid-afternoon edition, June night, along with Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices. And before the break, You were telling us about how wills, you know, will they or will they not control our assets at our death?
Yeah, that's our number four. Number four is, you know, that we hear oftentimes and is the fact that people think that their wills will control everything that they own at their death. And I, as I mentioned, it's just not true. We have the life insurance beneficiary designations, retirement plan beneficiary designations, and those go outside the probate estate, unless the estate is named as the beneficiary, which is not necessarily always what you want to have happen, but be that as it may, it does happen, in which case then the will would control that. But you know, barring that, it doesn't control it. It's going to go directly contractually to whoever. Jointly owned assets, when we just talked about it, goes automatically to the joint owner. Mm. The presumption is when someone's a joint owner that they are the new owner upon death, unless anyone else can prove it was for convenience. They were only put on there for convenience. So that's a number four. Our number five is, my home is in trust, and therefore it is protected from having to be spent down on nursing home expenses.
Oh, that's a big one.
That's a big one. We get that a lot. And the first thing I say is, do you have the trust with you? And I hate to burst their bubble, but I need to read that trust, because if they have any access to it, to the principal, if they can take the principal back themselves of what they put in the trust, i.e. the house, if they can have that house deeded back to them, or if it's a revocable trust or amendable trust or anything like that, that house isn't protected. That house was possibly put into that trust for another reason. And then what ends up happening is that, you know, you go to a seminar and you hear someone talking about trust and how if you put your house in trust, it's protected. There are many different types of trusts. Only certain ones will protect it from the cost of long-term care. So be aware of that, folks, if you think that your house is protected because it's in a trust.
Uh-huh.
And along with that is my, I think I have it on here, is my number six, is the homestead. People also think that because they have a homestead on their house, that their house is protected from the cost of long-term care as well. Same issue. You know, it's protected, but again, not from the cost, having been spent down on the cost of long-term care necessarily. Homestead does not protect your house from a nursing home situation. It protects it from general liabilities, general creditor liabilities. So, and what the homestead law says is that if you have your house in your name, you can proactively file in the state of Massachusetts a homestead recording, which will protect the equity in your home up to $500,000. But it doesn't say that you get to keep $500,000 of equity and not have to spend that down on the cost of nursing home. So again, something to be aware of, folks, if you're listening. You know, the fact that you have a homestead does not protect your house from the costs of long-term care or that situation.
So what kind of a trust do we need to put it in to protect it from long-term care and nursing homes?
It would have to be a situation where you couldn't revoke it back, so it's got to be irrevocable. Okay, it's also going to have to be a situation where you don't have access to the principal. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have access to the income that this trust generates, but the principal. In other words, general liability... rule of liability is that if you can get the asset back, your creditors can. They stand in your shoes. So if you were to put something into a trust and you have no ability to get it back for yourself, then you're going to be no one's going to be able to get that back for you, including a creditor. So it's gone for you. It's gone for them. Now, outside any kind of, again, fraudulent transfer, again, you have someone on your doorstep and you just give something away, that's a whole other matter. But barring that, if you put something into a trust that's irrevocable and you don't have access to the principal, it's going to have some very good creditor protection, and in particular protection from the cost of long-term care. So that's the type of trust you'd want to – that's the language I would be looking for when I'm asking that question, and when the client hands me the trust at the meeting and I say, do you have it? And if they do, and I have to break the news one way or the other, hopefully it's good news. Hopefully it's what they wanted.
Right.
So that's our number six. Our number seven is another one that you know, we hear quite often. And again, it's a mixing of what people know. It's a mixing of tax, you know, a little bit of tax knowledge and a little bit of nursing home knowledge. It's the, I can give $13,000 away per year so that, you know, and that $13,000 is not subject to any kind of disqualification or look back period for the nursing home. Can't I just give $13,000 away a year? And you can for gift tax purposes. You can give, you know, any individual $13,000 a year away and not have that subject to any kind of gift tax filings. Because we have gift tax, and we talk about estate tax a lot on the show. There's a corollary to the estate tax. It's the gift tax. And it's basically there so that there is an estate tax, because if there was no gift tax, everyone at their deathbed would just give everything away.
That's right.
So we have to have a corollary to that to make sure that that doesn't happen, and hence the gift tax. So what the gift tax, one of the rules of the gift tax is that if you, and it's really because, you know, the IRS doesn't want to know about every little birthday gift you get. You have $13,000, you know, and every little card from your grandmother. You have $13,000 to give anyone you want per year. That's a calendar year. So on December 31st, you can give someone $13,000. On January 1st, you can do another $13,000. So
Okay. That
is what that has to do with. But people get it. It used to be 10. A lot of people think it's 10,000. A lot of people, and then it moved up to 11, but it's 13. Now, and what people tend to confuse that with, again, it's Rubik's Cube. You've got to look at things in buckets. That's gift taxes. On the nursing home side, any kind of gift is a potential for disqualifying you. So at that $25 birthday card, I mean, there's a limit. I mean, you don't really see that too often. But technically, it could be. There's no small amount. I mean, any transfer for less than fair market value can create a disqualification period, and is something that would be subject to that five-year look-back period when you apply for MassHealth with respect to a MassHealth application for long-term care stay. So just be aware of that, folks, that $13,000 that you think you can give is going to be subject and will be looked at if it gets caught inside that five-year look-back period.
Can you explain the look-back period? Because
sure.
I know there's a lot of people out there that that have no idea this exists.
Yeah. So basically, you know, what this has to do with, what our number seven has to do with, is the fact that you can't, you can certainly always give away your property. And that's one of the rights of having property, is that you can give it away. But you always have to be aware of the consequences of that, as I mentioned before. And one of the consequences is, as you get older, you should be thinking about the cost of long-term care. And what you're required to do is spend your money on long-term care. Your health insurance isn't going to cover that. So what ends up happening is, in the thought process, and what is all this, I get this question, what is this, all this talk about protecting your assets? Well, when you're cutting a check for $12,000 or $13,000 a month, at that point in your life, when you don't have that kind of income, you're burning through assets. And again, your health insurance won't cover that.
And you haven't worked in 10 years or
That's right.
20 years.
That's right. So you're using what your savings, and then when you use those savings down to a level of $2,000 for a single individual, of countable assets, what's known as countable assets, then you can apply for Medicaid or MassHealth in this state, long-term care Medicaid, and the hopes are that you'll get on, and that will pay the nursing home for your stay. Well, when you're filling out the application, the questions will ask you about gifts in the past, because it just makes sense that they have these rules in place, because otherwise, like the gift tax was a corollary to the estate tax, everyone would just give all their money away right before they went into a nursing home,
right,
if they didn't ask about those questions. So they will certainly go back and ask, hey, did you give any money away? And if the answer, within a certain period of time, and if the answer is yes, then what they'll do is they will apply what's a disqualification period based on the amount that you gave, starting from when you would have already qualified for MassHealth. So that will carry out, and can carry out for quite a long period of time if you gave away a lot of money. Mm. Now, $13,000 isn't a lot of money, but you should know that can and will cause a disqualification period for a period of time. So I just don't want people to be shocked by that. You know, if you've given away that money, that's going to have to be, you know, taken into consideration when you're applying. Now, the whole issue of whether, you know, it was intended, you know, to get onto Medicaid, or it was just a valid gift, or you're paying for some school who needed it, I mean, that's all on the side. But just straight up, I mean, you've got to be aware that kind of money will be looked at, and a penalty will be applied.
Brendan, what if somebody, I'm not going to mention any names, but it's a friend of a family, a person who's retired, whatever, they keep saying, they're not going to get my money because I put it in a safe deposit box.
Yeah, oh yeah.
What's that all about?
That's another favorite one of mine. I mean, the fact that you have the money, it's still your money.
Okay.
You know, again, it's, people always ask me, well, how are they guys, I should have put that on as number 11. How are they going to know about it? And, you know, the way they're going to know about it is that you've got to answer it honestly. I mean, the way that you report your taxes, the way that you report anything, and when you fill these things out, you've got to do it honestly. And if you have money in a safety deposit box, that's an asset. Whether it's in a safety deposit box, in your pillowcase, at a bank,
in your shoe. In your trunk.
Now I guess to answer their question, how will anyone find out about it? I suppose there's not a 1099 to generate income. There's no income being generated. Mm-hmm. So if there's a tax return looked at, it won't be on there. Well,
isn't there a deposit slip, though, or some kind of record?
I suppose if it's been in there long enough, or maybe they've added someone else's name to the safety deposit box and they changed that, that all comes into play. But the point I always tell my clients, listen, if it's there, it's there. I mean, it's very clear what the rules are. My job is to know the rules and counsel the clients on the rules and play by the rules. And there's plenty of things you can do to protect your assets while still playing by the rules. Clients who don't want to play by the rules, then they have to find another advisor. It's not worth me getting my ticket punched, for that kind of stuff. So
no.
It's like, hey, listen, you can fill this out on your own, if you're going to play mm-hmm. like that. But, and they are pretty clear what the rules are. I mean, some things are, I think lawyers debate about. But for the most part, I find the regulations that correspond to these rules to be pretty black and white, and that's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So that was our number seven, and this is all, folks. This is all I had given June. So I had come up with three more because I wasn't sure how this was going to play out. Plus, the whole top ten thing, I wanted to kind of jump on David Letterman's back there.
All
a little
right,
bit.
That's cool. I get it.
So I've got three more, folks, and June hasn't seen these. This is a surprise to her as well.
Okay, well, surprise me then.
This is number eight. Is I need to exclude my special needs child. Okay, and this is another one that we hear quite often, and it's typically I find it with some of my older clients who may not be as aware or have done that historically. Brendan, my son is Down syndrome, and I look at an old will, and he or she is specifically excluded. What I'll often say is, why did you exclude him? It's like, well, he's on benefits, and that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not true. You don't have to do that. There are things called special needs and supplemental needs trusts, and we can get more into that at the end of the break.
Okay, once again, from Estate Preservation Law Offices in Worcester, it's Brendan King. It's 3:43. That's the music. That means we're taking a break. You're listening to the Money Matters Radio Network.
Radio. It's only a little box with a cord and some knobs that tells us stories and sings us songs and gives us the score and warns of the storm. It's only a little box with a cord and some knobs that makes us wonder and cheer, kiss and cry, and sometimes dance and sometimes fight. It's only a little box filled with sockets and circuits that sits on the counter, that drives in a car, that flies to the sky, that hangs in the bar and asks who we are and what do we think and who do we love and why do we hate. It's only a little box with a cord and some knobs. To see all of the wondrous things about radio, go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Brought to you by the radio industry and this station to remind you that radio is heard here, radio is heard everywhere.
This business is harder than anything I've ever done in my life.
Meet Kim Ema. She sells tasty desserts out of her treats truck all over Manhattan.
Managing cash flow is really important because things are always changing. Let's say I have a really big event coming up. I'm probably going to use my Visa Business credit card. And then there are weekly expenses where it just makes a lot of sense to use my Visa Business debit card.
Learn how Visa Business helps Kim manage cash flow in ways checks can't. Visit visa.com/gobiz. More small businesses go forward with Visa.
This is Brian McCormick from McCormick Law Firm in Boston. Did you know that without proper estate planning, you could lose more than half of the value of your estate to taxes? If you have questions or need help protecting your assets, you need someone who specializes in this area. For a free consultation, call 617-371-4351 or join me on the Money Matters Midday Show every Friday at 11 for advice you can count on. 617-371-4351.
With building science evolving at an extraordinary pace, the time has come to go green. Green Energy Home Improvement will help you save on energy costs year-round They specialize in addressing the energy needs of your home by offering expertise in air sealing, draft control, replacement windows, roofs, and seamless gutters, as well as wall and attic insulation. Contact Rich Bayer and receive your free home estimate. Call 1-800-377-0364 or visit ge-hi.com and discover the science behind the solution.
Hey, this is Dave Cullinan from MoneyMattersBoston.com. Many companies, including Verizon, are making early retirement packages available to their older workers. Does this offer include health insurance? Are you being offered a lump sum pension option? We have a free report available that will help you make an informed decision regarding early retirement packages. 781-433-0001. Call now and make an informed decision. 781-433-0001. That's 781-433-0001.
Log on to MoneyMattersBoston.com to find a Money Matters Radio Network affiliate near you.
Sixty degrees on this Wednesday, and you're listening to the Money Matters Radio Network, WBNW 1120 AM. Down in Plymouth, WPLM 1390. Down in Southbridge, WESO 970 AM. Junite, along with Brendan King, Estate Preservation Law Offices out of Worcester, Massachusetts. Okay, you were talking before the break about including special needs children in the will.
Yeah, and not leaving them out is really not leaving them out of someone's estate plan. And again, being number 8 on our top 10 here, we hear that a lot. We hear people just coming and thinking, you know, probably in the old days, I think that's what they did. You know, before the whole special needs trust idea had come out, before this. You know, this knowledge was better known. I think people just knew that they could not, their children could not have these assets, and they just relied on their other siblings to provide for them. I mean, I think in this day and age, some of that trust is probably not there as much for siblings, and people are busy. So that you can have these special needs trusts so that money can be put aside for these children so that they can benefit, still be on their programs, their government programs, but also benefit from these trusts. Oh, okay. So to leave a special needs child out is not necessarily what you have to do. Now, you still may want to do it, and I've had clients who still, after me explaining that, still want to do it. But again, knowledge is, you know, having the knowledge is much better making a decision and then not to have it at all and just thinking you have to do that. Mm-hmm. So that's our number 8.
Okay.
Our number 9 is I'm protected from liability because I am incorporated. Another favorite of mine. People think that if they have an incorporation or they're incorporated, they have a corporation, that they're always going to be protected from anything that goes on.
Why, just from insurance that they have? Or?
Well, you know, it's just a random statement that comes in, and I guess the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, as part of estate planning, we'll look at business assets, and we talk about asset protection with our clients. And one of the things I mentioned with corporations is that corporations do provide a level of protection. So if June, you and I own a corporation together, and I commit some negligence in the practice, if we were partners, you'd be liable with me together.
Sure.
But the corporation now is going to protect you from any liability that I've had. But I'm still responsible for my own screw up. So if I screwed something up, they can go after the corporation because if I did it through the corporation, mm-hmm. and me personally. So what's protected here is my co-shareholders in the corporation. What would be protected in a situation we have someone go out with our car, get coffee, or dropping something off, they hit somebody. I mean, that's going to protect us personally mm-hmm. from that situation coming back to us, unless we issued. I mean, I suppose you could always make a point of tort being we negligently sent them out with it. They were drunk and we just sent them out, you know, to drop the stuff off. Then that would be a problem for us. But barring that, it does provide some protection. But one of the things I do want to mention to people with respect to corporations is that when you own corporate stock, what you need to remember is that's an asset. So if you and I own this corporation and you go out on a Saturday night with some friends and plow into, you know, a bus full of, I would say a bus full of nuns or whoever, you know, it's just like the most sympathetic victim
right.
you could have there. You have a problem and I have a problem too now, because what ends up happening is although that had nothing to do with the corporation, your stock in the corporation is an asset.
Okay,
so corporations protect you from what we call inside liability, that liability where I screwed up and you're protected. That would protect you. That's inside liability. But outside liability, corporations don't have that same level of protection because now your stock is a is an asset, and they could come in and take your stock. And guess what? Now my new shareholder is that whoever you just hit with your car.
Oh.
Yeah. So insurance becomes very important, but also knowledge of and knowing what and having a good idea as to what asset protection techniques you may have set up, what they're good for, what they're not good for, and just to have a better sense of where you are. The way you can protect yourself, by the way, is you and I would have like a buy-sell agreement, and if they tried to take that stock, I would have an option and by contract to buy that stock out and give you the money. Then they can take your money. At least I'm not affected.
Okay.
Okay?
So you're protecting yourself.
I'm protecting myself through some sort of buy-sell agreement. LLCs, by the way, folks, are a little bit different too because LLCs do have that inside and outside protection. So they would have the same protection where I screw up in the company, you're protected, but they would also have protection that you and I have a special bond as partners, if you will, for lack of a better word, in this LLC, and they cannot, if you hit that bus or whatever, they're not going to be able to grab your interest in the LLC. They can grab what's known as if there's any distributions made to you through a charging order. So LLCs offer, in my opinion, a little bit better protection, but that's always another favorite of mine, and I'd like to dispel that myth that if you have an incorporation that you're fully protected.
Okay, and we like LLCs.
I do.
I'm
a big LLC fan. I know.
All right, let's take a quick break because I know you want to get to number 10.
I'll get to number 10.
And we'll do that when we come back. Time now for the Bloomberg Business Update.
This is the Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Karen Moscow. A halt in home foreclosures at the largest U.S. mortgage firms may sideline buyers worried about legal issues, further depressing sales at a time when distressed properties account for almost a quarter of all transactions. Richard DeKayser, chief economist at Woodley Park Research in Washington, said revelations of mistakes in foreclosure proceedings are causing buyers to have misgivings about property titles, the right of home possession. Peter Sadowski, executive vice president and chief legal officer for Fidelity National Financial, the largest title insurer, says buyers have little reason for concern.
It is so highly unlikely that consumers who purchase these homes from foreclosure will be kicked out of their houses because of the problems that we've been reading about in the paper.
Foreclosure sales accounted for 24% of all home transactions during the second quarter, according to RealtyTrack. That's the Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Karen Moscow.
There's no guarantee you'll ever have a single-digit handicap. No guarantee you'll approve of your daughter's fiancé. In a world where guarantees are in short supply, thankfully there's Assured Guarantee. With municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of your principal and interest is guaranteed. Assured Guarantee is the global leader in bond insurance, with the financial strength and risk management skills to stand behind every bond we insure. Talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
These days, everyone has an opinion. It's so hard to get two people to agree on anything that when you find 1 million people who agree, it's kind of surprising. Well, 1 million small business owners have agreed to trust their payroll to Intuit Payroll. 1 million. That's more than any other payroll provider. They make it so easy to create your paychecks. You just type in the hours, and Intuit Payroll does the rest. So, go ahead. You've got a million reasons to give them a shot. Get a 30-day free trial of Intuit Online Payroll at Intuit.com. That's Intuit.com.
Boston's fastest-growing financial news station, the Money Matters Radio Network. Visit us on the web at moneymattersboston.com.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome back to the Money Matters Radio Network, 354, and it's 60 degrees outside. It's Brendan King in studio with me June Knight every Wednesday from 3 until 4 o'clock. He is with the State Preservation Law Offices. So we've got about 5 minutes. Before we do sign off for the afternoon, Brendan, give us your contact information.
Okay, 71 Elm Street, and that's Worcester, Massachusetts, 01609. Our telephone number is 508-751-5010. Again, 508-751-5010. www.estatepreservationlaw.com. www.estatepreservationlaw.com.
Okay, I know you want to get to that number 10.
Yeah, the number 10. It's not as huge as you might think, because these were just kind of put together, but it is something that we do here. And I also have another 11 that we can maybe squeak in there.
Yeah, sure.
Is that oftentimes people, one of the biggest decisions that you'll make when you're thinking about your plan is who are they going to be the fiduciaries and who's going to be the people that you put your trust in to be your successor trustee or your executor or what have you. And one of the things that we find is that people will oftentimes make this decision based on what those individuals are going to get paid, because executors and trustees are entitled to a reasonable fee, you know, depending on, you know, what they do for a living, their skill set, that sort of thing. But know this, and I always tell my clients this, is that just because you pick your nephew or your niece or something, a family member, that doesn't mean that they don't have to charge a fee. They certainly can.
Really? They can get a fee?
Absolutely. It's a lot of work. And so I guess what I want to tell folks out there is that don't necessarily make that decision based on cost. I mean, pick someone that you, first of all, we think will do a good job. And they may very well be that person. But if you're going to pick it on cost, know that they can charge a fee. And sometimes what I've found, it can be more expensive. And here's why. If they don't know what they're doing, they're still allowed to charge a fee for their time and efforts. But they're also going to have to hire a lot of people to help them perform the job because they don't know what they're doing. So they're going to have to go out and hire a lawyer. They're going to have to go out and hire an accountant and a tax preparer and what have you. So these people are going to have to be brought on board, where oftentimes if they pick a professional who knows how to do those things, the cost is going to be higher, but you're not going to have those two fees, because you may very well have to pay that fee anyways, especially if you're picking the non-professional fiduciary. Mm-hmm. Again, not saying that that's a good, bad, or otherwise, but again, knowledge is power. And if you have that knowledge ahead of time, it may affect the way you think, and it may affect the outcome of the plan. Because oftentimes if you pick a professional, it can't be cheaper. They know what they're doing. They get in, they get out, and they do it. They charge their fees. They are what they are. And you certainly can get an idea of what fees are if you were to call a professional fiduciary and find out what that is. Whereas, again, you pick your niece, your son, or what have you, they're entitled to charge a fee, but they're also going to have to hire people who are going to charge the estate fees as well to do that job, because your son or your niece, nephew, may not know how to do it. So that's our number 10.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there you go, folks. Again, trying to dispel some of these estate planning myths. There's another one that kind of came up that I wrote down at the end of the last break, which is we were talking about Medicaid planning and nursing home planning. And oftentimes the thought is these days is that, oh, it's too late. I can't do anything. And I think that's what causes people to do the whole safety deposit box, kind of like, well, they're never going to find this. It's almost like, you know, Custer's last stand type of thing. It's like, okay, easy, Tiger. Let's take a breath. There's always something you can do, and you should talk to a professional about that, professional planner, about what is that you can do. I mean, even if you're in the home and you're there already, yes, we have these rules, but again, knowing the rules is also knowing what you can do in those rules, and doing it legally, and not getting any kind of resistance in doing it. And people are always amazed at what we're able to pull off, but it's nothing that you couldn't have done yourself. I mean, we didn't go ahead and tell you not to put that stuff down on the safe deposit box, but you might be able to set up a certain type of trust or an annuity or what have you to help you legally get onto that program. So with that, I will give it over
That's
to you,
it.
June, to wrap it up.
All right.
And thanks, folks, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you. Brendan King, Estate Preservation Law, offices 508-751-5010, estatepreservationlaw.com. That'll wrap things up. Have a great day, everybody. 359, The Money Matters Radio Network. Come away, come away.
You're listening to Boston's Home for Finance, the Money Matters Radio Network on WBNW, 1120 AM Concord, Boston, WPLM, 1390 AM Plymouth, and WESO, 970 AM Southbridge. Keeping an eye on your wallet from Worcester to Cape Cod, the Money Matters Radio Network.
Hi, this is Rob Mitchell, your Monday and Thursday co-host of Money Matter and president of Coastal Finance. Are you finding it hard to keep up with your monthly expenses now that you are retired? If you are 62 or older and a homeowner, there is a federally insured loan program that allows you to tap the hard-earned equity in your home